I want to begin today by giving you three numbers. And you actually have the numbers on your outline as well to make it easy for you. And the numbers are 2,700. The second number is 86,400. And the third, it's a large one, 845,864,812. What do you think those numbers are talking about? Yeah, I heard it from one or two people. You are right. If I gave you another clue, I could say if you added, for example, another 60 on the first number, it might give you another hint. We're talking about seconds. We've already been in the service for over 3,000 seconds. There are 86,400 seconds in the day. And that last number I gave you, 845,864,812, are the supposed seconds I have left to live. There are many places on the internet. One of them, is a place called deathclock.com. And what you can do is you go there, you enter a few details, and it tells you what it thinks, how many seconds you got left in your life. See, for me, it told me that I had to the Wednesday, the 1st of November, 2045. How it works out, I got no idea. It's comical. Probably the little worrying thing is that you actually see the seconds ticking down as you watch it. But it's true, isn't it? Seconds, minutes, hours, tick-tock, that's what I've called today's message. It's about time. So today I want to talk to you about time. Do you ever think about time? Now some of you might say yes, some of you would say, oh, not really. Well, have any of you looked at your watch since you've been in the service this morning? Someone asked you this morning, how has your week been? I know I said chaotic or busy to some people. That's talking about time. Have you ever started to think already, maybe even during this service, what jobs or activities you're going to do after church? Or maybe this coming week at work or at school? Do you like celebrating birthdays? Yes, we do, don't we? But that's about time, isn't it? Or other milestones. It's about time. Have you ever stood in front of the mirror and thought, my body shape has changed a little? You know, that's thinking about time. Do we ever feel sad? And I know for some people today, they are feeling sad when someone they love is not with them anymore. And today, being Mother's Day for some people, it makes that harder. See, all of those, and you can think of many, many more examples, we're thinking about time. We don't often think specifically we are, but we are. So how do you view time? Is time something that's positive or is it a negative? Is it a good thing or is it a bad thing? Is it a resource to be used or is it a problem? Do you think time for you represents an opportunity or is it a threat? For you, is it often running out or are you just trying to kill it? You know, kill time. You've got time to kill. How do you view time? Because I think for all of us, when we really start to think about it, time is a major focus for us every single day. And we can spend it well, or we can waste it. For example, I saw on average in Australia that we spend 18 hours a week watching TV. Some spend 18 hours as well on social media. 28 hours on domestic duties, 42 hours on work or education, and about 49 hours on sleep and other things. When you think about that's what is average for Australians, is that how we should be using our time? Is that using our time well? Or would you think it's wasting time? See, in the psalm that we read out earlier, there's part of that verse 12 which is talking about time. And it's words that I know you know really well. teach us to number our days. Well, what does that mean? Now, we want to use our time well. How does teaching us to number our days help us to do that? Now, we're here in Mother's Day 2026, and today I want us to look at Psalm 90 because I think it helps us to try to understand how to number our days and to reflect on time. From the opening verse, we see that this psalm is attributed to Moses, which means this is, if not the oldest, one of the oldest psalms we have recorded. And it was probably written by Moses when God's people were wandering in the wilderness for those 40 years. Now, we'll touch on this more after this short foray into the Psalms when we get to the book of Joshua coming up in a few weeks' time. But just for many of you probably remember, but God's people, God brought them out of Egypt. He brought them to the promised land and he said, "This is your land. Go and enter and I'll be with you." God's people's response, "No, God, they look big and scary. We're going to go that way." And they did. And God said, "Because you've disobeyed me, because of your sin, you will now face judgment." And do you remember what the judgment was? That the whole generation had to die out before they could enter the promised land. And it would take 40 years. Now, I'm not the mathematician that worked this out, but some bright spark did. And he said, for that to happen, from what we know of how many people of God's generation, people in generation were alive, that meant for the next 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, God's people on average would have had to do 3 to 5 funerals every day. Can you imagine that? And into the midst of that, Moses says to God, "Teach us to number our days." Why? What's he asking here? Because I think what Moses understands when he looks out and he sees his people dying, when he sees they have disobeyed God, he calls out to God because he realizes that God is the only person who can do something about their issue, that God is eternal and that man is mortal. Look at verse 1 with me. "Lord, you've been our dwelling place throughout all generations. Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the whole world from everlasting to everlasting, you are God." For Moses, it is clear, God's eternal. He's always been there. He always will be. But when he sees the people dying around him, he realizes very clearly that man is mortal. In total contrast to God, we're not eternal. Verse 3, "You turn people back to dust, saying, 'Return to dust, you mortals.'" We're mortal. We all die. Now, and he gives us the beautiful pictures in this psalm of the grass growing and dying within a day. That life is like the watch in the night, which is about a 3-hour time period. That life ends, what does verse 9 say? With a moan. And then we get the well-known verse in verse 10. "Our days may come to 70 years or 80 if our strength endures, yet the best of them are but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass and we fly away." The picture for Moses is clear. And it's pretty stark too if you know that you having a whole generation dying out around you. Man is mortal. Man is going to die. Man's life on earth is short, but God is eternal. And because he knows that God is eternal, that God has been with them throughout all generations, God has been there from the beginning, before even the world was created, Moses knows that God wants to care for his people. He knows that God is all-powerful. And so he prays. Verse 8, "You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence." Moses knows that this wandering in the wilderness is due to their sin. He knows it's the consequence of their sin. The people dying around him, it's the consequence of their sin. They have this daily reminder. And so he says in verse 12, "Yes, God, I know you're eternal. Yes, God, I know we're dying. It's the consequences of our sin. Therefore, God, teach us to number our days. But I know, and we know those words. But do we know the rest of the verse? That we may gain a heart of wisdom. Moses knows that time is limited. That one day, and for some of them very soon, they will face God. So he asks God, God, help us to realize that. Help us to remind us that you're eternal, that we're mortal, that we're going to die. It's the consequence of our sin. And help us to use our time that we have left wisely. Help us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom, that we may use the time we have left wisely. Now that website I talked about earlier, Death Clock, or what a number of the other ones, those huge numbers, 845,864,812 seconds, I can look at that half-heartedly and think, oh, that's a long way away. I've got lots of time. Now I can live my life how I want, do what I want. Then I can think about other things, think about God or whatever. You know, and sometimes we can think like that. Sometimes I've found over the years that particularly when you talk to young people, they will say to me, Stephen, I've got the whole of my life in front of me. I'll get round to God later on. Is that using time wisely? Sometimes at the other end of life when we're a little bit older, sometimes we think that we don't actually have anything left to offer, or maybe that the world owes us and so we're just going to sort of just go through life and not do much and just live as we want. Is that using time wisely? Now, I think if you entered your details into one of those websites and it said you've got 5 days left to live, or a doctor told you when you got a bad medical result that you only had a short time to live, would you live differently? I think all of us would probably say yes. I think we'd think very carefully about every choice we made every single day that we had left, wouldn't we? We would think, how am I going to spend the last seconds I've got left wisely? You know, many of you know we live out in North Casino. We live on tank water. And not now, but at times when our tanks have started to run low, the family has seen that. They know we have a limited resource. And so you think very wisely how you're going to use what you've got left. We change our lives to be wise with what we've got left. And that is exactly the picture. And that's exactly what Moses is asking here in verse 12. Lord, help us to change our priorities. Help us to realize life is short. Our time is short. How can we use the time we've got left on earth wisely? But how does that look? You know, earlier I talked about how on, you know, average people spend so many hours on social media in Australia and watching TV and all of that. Knowing that life is short, is that a wise way to live? Now, our world says, seize the day. You know, they call it time management. Get up earlier, go to bed later, work harder, fit more in, sleep less, eat less, do more school, do more work, catch a quick bite here, work, eat while you're talking on the telephone. You know, fit all of this in. They call it time management. They call it, you know, lots of people come around in companies when I worked as an engineer trying to tell you this is how you had to live your life to fit more in. But as I reflect on that, is that living wisely? No. So what is living wisely? You know, in a way, this is what God is asking Moses. He's saying, Moses is asking God. He's saying, God, show us time management. How can we live wisely with what we got left? Some of you might have read Stephen Covey's book, 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. And he writes this about time management. Time management is a misleading concept. You can't really manage time. You can't delay it. You can't speed it up. You can't save it or lose it. No matter what you do, Time keeps moving forward at the same rate. The challenge is not to manage time, but to do what? Manage ourselves. See, it all comes down to choice. Our choices. Every single day, you have 86,400 seconds. You can never get them back. When the day is done, they're done. So what choices can you make to use your time wisely in those 86,400 seconds? Now, from earlier in this psalm, we've seen that man is mortal. The man is sinner, that is a sinner deserving God's judgment. In verse 13 to 15, Moses cries out to God and he asks for compassion from God. He's asking God, help us turn away your wrath from us. Help us fix our problem for us, God. Now, we know ultimately the answer to Moses' prayer is in Jesus, where God had mercy, compassion on humanity, and offered up his own son to face the judgment we deserve. We know too from the book of Proverbs that being wise begins with loving and following God. So the first choice each day to use our time wisely, I think, is to make sure that we're loving and following Jesus. So I wonder today, if you want to use your time wisely, have you taken that choice? And I know many of you would say you have. See, in verse 13 to 15, we get this beautiful picture of love and joy and peace that we can have in following God. Now, we live in a world that I think is crying out for love and joy and peace. Maybe even today, you're crying out for it too. Is it wise to put off until tomorrow to look for that? No, we need to do it today. And when we think about loving and following and putting Jesus first, making that choice, is it wise to put it off until tomorrow? No, because we don't know how many tomorrows we've got. Now, verse 17 says this, may the favor of the Lord our God rest on us. Establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. What he's saying here and crying out is that, you know, in following God and for us in following Jesus, then after we've made that choice, keep making choices that God wants us to make. Keep making choices. God has established the work of our hands. We need to live the life that God wants us to live. When you think about using time wisely, when you think about using the seconds you've got left wisely, are we doing that? See, verse 10 describes our general world, and those averages I talked about earlier is often how we live it out. And when you think about those things, you could think life at times can feel meaningless. But if we know that time is short, as this psalm reminds us, then with every moment we've got, what choice can we make to show glory to God, to live the way he wants, and to share Jesus with others? Now, yes, we've got 86,400 seconds in a day. There are certain things we need to do. We need to eat. We need to sleep. We need to go to work or to go to school. We take care of our children or loved ones. We clean our homes. Yes, we have to do those things. The point is not to disregard our responsibilities in lieu of doing something else. But as we do them, do we give glory to God? As we do them, are we living God's way the way he wants? As we do those things, those everyday parts of life, do we look for opportunities to actually share Jesus with people? How can we do it in our homes? How can we do it at school or at work? How can we do it with our neighbours or strangers we meet down the street? In your daily activities, do you give God the glory? In your daily activities, are you looking for that time to share Jesus with people? Or maybe do you need, when you look at your life and you look at the average of how much we spend on things, you think, yes, I do that, but I actually don't let God in the picture much. So do we need to cut down on some of those things so we get God more in the picture so that we're living his way? Because remember, this psalm is reminding us it is our choice that we make. Are we going to be wise with the time we've got left or not? Do we need to change our daily activities or not? Is it wise to spend it in front of the TV or other screens? Or can we do it better for God? Is it wise to think about, oh, next month I will look to share with my neighbour? Why not today? We might think, oh, in 2027, life might be a little bit calmer and more peaceful, and I might think about helping in a ministry in the church. Why wait? Ministries in the church are going on today. How can we be a part of that? See, this Psalm 90 for Moses, this is how he was doing life as he wandered in the wilderness. As the nation of Israel did life, as that generation died out before they could have an opportunity to enter the promised land again. Psalm 90 talks about our life, how we live our daily life. And it reminds us that time is running out. It reminds us that time is short. Tick-tock. We need to use our time wisely. Teach us to number our days so that we can be wise with it. Let me pray. Father, we thank you that Moses, as he faced the challenge of his and the people's disobedience, as they walked in that wilderness and they saw the generation die out around them, including Moses, he took the time to remember who you were and asked for your help. That the people would see that their time was short and therefore hopefully that they would change how they lived so that they would live for you. Lord, may we hear that cry as well, and may we do the same. Lord, may we in our daily life make the first choice of following Jesus and then making the choice every day after that to live the way you want us to. Father, help us to realize that even in our beautiful country, in our beautiful town here, time is running out. We don't know how much time we have. So Lord, help us to reflect on how we can use it for you wisely. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the challenge that it gives. And as we go out into our week, help us to live it out in your name. Amen.